Up to Perek Lamed Dalet. Perek Lamed Dalet Vayan Elihu Vayomar Elihu is now up to a second speech. There are no breaks between these different speeches. This is not like the three friends, Eliphaz, Bilhah, and Tsofar, where in between each speech, Eov responded. Here we have one of the first differences between Elihu and the other friends. There's no response. Eov just listens. It appears there is a break, and that's why we have a parsha break. There's a samach, and now we have a new pasuk which tells us Vayan Elihu Yomar. He speaks up. We enter into a new discussion, a new theme. Pasuk Beis Shimu Chachamim Biloy. Listen, wise men, my words. V'yodim, and the knowledgeable has zinuli, listened to me. Seemingly, he's addressing the audience. He's not speaking directly to Eov. Eov is obviously present, but he's speaking to the audience. That's also a different technique. Seemingly, the other friends, the three friends who spoke directly to Eov, and everyone else was the audience. Here, he's speaking to the audience, and Eov is going to listen. Now, I'll give you this very strange mashal, this mamish, lahavdil elif alfi avdolos, off the topic. But it just comes to mind, and I think there's something very interesting about it, it's very true. I once was listening to a talk radio, Rush Limbaugh.
Oh, Rush.
And Rush, he says something very interesting. I always think about this. He said the following yesod.
Who is that?
Rush Limbaugh. He said that in the world of talk show radio, and even like on television, these certain anchormen and these famous hosts, how many of them are there in the world? How many people are there out there that actually speak to millions of people, have an audience of over a million people? Let's put 50 people, 100 people. That's how many people there are in America that speak to an audience of a million people. All of these people have very big egos, most of them. And they have an agenda. They have a political agenda. They're always trying to slant the news towards their perspective, their beliefs, their values. And you know, we see with Israel, we see with United States politics, Republican, Democrat. We get a flavor. So his thesis was, when they speak to a million people, someone gets up and speaks to 50 million people, who is he speaking to? You have someone, an anchorman on a television station. Who is he speaking to? So you would say that, yes, the average person, he's speaking to 30 million people. Right? There are 300 million people in America. How many people are listening to him? 20 million people, 10 million people, 30 million people, 50 million people. He's speaking to 50 million people. So he said, no, he's not talking to 50 million people. He's talking to 50 people. He's talking to his competitors. There are 100 people in this business. Each one of them has an agenda. Each one is they're competing with each other. When this group of 50 people talk, they're talking to each other. And they're just using the audience, millions of people, as a means to talk to each other. It's a power play. You're going to choose this to be your lead story because you want to make a point and show this is the most important thing. I'm gonna take a different news item and use that as my lead story to downplay other events that have happened or to upplay certain things that have happened. They're speaking to each other, and they're just using millions of people as a technique. To some degree, the reason why I thought that is because here you have this very, very, very major difference between Tsofar, Eliphaz, and Bildad versus Elihu. Elihu spoke, Tsofar, Bildad, and Eliphaz spoke directly to Eov. Everyone else was just the audience. There was a large audience that was listening to this debate, and they were talking directly to Eov. Elihu's not. Elihu is very clearly addressing the audience. I'm addressing the audience. They are the people who I want, who should listen to my Eov. If you want to listen also and understand, good for you. Then you'll also have understand. In other words, the Mitzvah makes this, seems to make this point, is that Elihu is more concerned about people learning the wrong thing from Eiv. Elihu's main focus is not to convince Eiv why you suffer. Elihu's focus is the tzibur, the world, should not be misled, should not be influenced by Eiv's false hashkafa, his philosophy on life. When the day is over, will Eiv come around and recognize that there's a reason why he suffers? That's not his agenda. That's not what Eliyahu's agenda. He doesn't care. If you want to understand why you suffer, good. If you don't want to understand, you want to complain, then complain. I don't care about you, Eiv. I care about the world. You, by speaking up in front of this audience, you are having influence on the entire world. People are learning from your evil ways. They're learning to doubt Kadosh Baruch Hu's Hashkacha Pratis. Their emuna is being weakened by your words of apikorsis. My concern is for the world. They should learn, they should know that what you're saying is false, and they should not be influenced by your evil words. That's my agenda. And if you, Eve, don't want, I don't care about you. You want to listen to what I have to say also. You want to be part of the audience, and maybe you will change your mind. Halavai. That would be a wonderful benefit. But that's not my objective. My objective is the tzibur, not you. That's very different than what the three friends. The three friends were not going to, they couldn't care less about the world. They're only focusing on their best friend. They have a very close friend, Eiv. He's suffering. They're trying to give him comfort, or they're trying to, as Eiv said, they're trying to flatter HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they themselves should not find themselves in the same situation. Their agenda is Eiv and not the Olam, not the world. That's a very important difference to understand between the difference between these two, the response of these two different individuals, of the good friends versus Elihu. And that's what it's saying in the Pasuk Beis, Shimu Chachomim Milai. Listen, the wise men, to my words, V'yoidim, those who understand, Hazinuli, listen carefully to me. Pasuk Gimel, Ki Oizen Milin Tivchon, the ear is able to differentiate between different words. The ear will differentiate between words of wisdom and words of foolishness. Just like you have to translate the second part of the pasuk as a simile. Okay, I think this microphone has had its better days. I think I could see why. You see, it's cut. You see, look over here, the microphone. It's been pressed. You see, it was cut.
Wonderfully put piece of tape on it.
All right, whatever. Okay, the end of the pasuk says, V'cheich yit'am lechol, the palate tastes food. The second part of the pasuk is a mashal for the first part of the pasuk. Just like a connoisseur, a chef, when you eat food, when your tongue touches the food, it's able to discern the difference between a good piece of food and a not such good piece of food, between a good cook and a poor cook. Likewise, if you listen carefully, you'll be able to tell the difference between a good speaker and a poor speaker. So I'm going to say something now. Listen very carefully, and if you listen very carefully, you'll be able to realize that what I'm saying makes a lot of sense. It's much more logical than what Eiv is saying, and it's much more logical than what the three friends have responded to Eiv. So again, the pasuk says, "Ki oizen milim tifchon," the ear is able to discern between different types of words. V'cheich, just like the palate, yitam lechol, is able to taste different types of food and discern the difference between good food and bad food.
Didn't Eve before say, he was complaining that before people listened to him, now he had no audience. So
what
audience is he speaking?
Well, no, obviously, no, there is no audience. Where did you see that?
Eve was complaining that he was famous.
That just means, that doesn't mean the audience. That means that when he was healthy, he was a celebrity. People, he prophet. He had a tish. Everyone came.
He has no more tish.
Right, but now, but this is a debate. This was a different setting. That complaint was true, but in this is a one-time town hall meeting where everyone came together to hear the debate between the three friends and Eiv to discuss his matzav. So it's a, that's a different type of setting. Okay, good morning. Okay, so let's see over here the Mitzvahs in the first Shri Psukim, the Mitzvahs in Pasuk Al Vayan. The Mitzvahs gives us some background into what is taking place over here. Lefi Shem, Sheb Ma'aneh HaRishayin Nehei Shev Lo B'dvah HaGalois HaPesha. In the first response, back in Perek Lamed Gimel, the theme of Perek Lamed Gimel was where Elihu revealed to Eiv why he suffers. In this parak, the major theme is why does he not receive reward? Okay, there are two different things. There is I suffer, I'm being punished for something I did not do, and the second theme is why doesn't Hashem reward me for my good deeds? The thrust of Perek Lamed Gimel is to respond to as to why Eov is suffering. And this Perek, the thrust is why Hashem is not giving Eov the reward that he feels he so rightfully deserves. Mm-hmm. So that's what the Mitzvah here is doing in Pasuk Aleph. Lefi because Shebemana HaRishayna HaHeshev LoBedvar HiGolos HaPesha. In the previous discussion, he explained to him why HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed suffering, Pesha, sin, El HaAdam. Why a person is suffering, why a person, the focus was Hashem speaks to a person in a dream and tells him, you're doing this and this wrong, and if a person does not listen to that message, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings upon him Yisurim in the form of Mida Keneged Mida to awaken him to do tshuva. V'yata now bo lahoshe bedvar gmul hasochar. This parak we're focusing on reward. V'ha'inesh. Gmul hasochar v'ha'inesh lezeh. Nosan Reva, the Gemul Hasochav Oynish, reward and punishment. So I take it back. I made a mistake. The previous parak we're not discussing reward and punishment. The previous parak we're discussing the revelation of what you have done wrong. HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to a person in the form of dreams and the form of Yisurim. It's a revelation what exactly you have done wrong. This parak we're focusing on reward and punishment. Bedvar Gimul, the do hasachar v'ha'inish. Lezeh, therefore, since this is an entirely different theme, that's why there's a parsha break, a samach, between Perek Lamed Gimel and Perek Lamed Dalet, and that's why we have a new introduction, Vayan Elihu Vayomar, which indicates that there was a break, there was a delay in between these two speeches. Lezeh nosan revach bein inyin le'inyin lehisboinein, in order to give Eve a chance to think, to reflect upon what was said, l'spon yafe b'chol davar, v'hivsik me harishayna, he took a break from his first discussion, his first response, v'hiskel b'shnia, and now he begins to discuss something entirely different. Pasuk Beis Shimu Chachamim, chaz apanav klapei harayim, he now addresses the friends. He's addressing the friends, v'amar v'amar atem chachamim shimu miloi. Now, seemingly, what I tell you was not accurate. At least, not according to the Mitzvah. It's all subject to interpretation. The Mitzvah used the word Reim. Now, Reim here is, it would seem that he's addressing specifically Eliphaz, Bildad, and Sofar. I told you when we started this parak, I told that he's addressing the audience. We made this difference between addressing the audience and addressing Eiv. If I'm not mistaken, other commentators learned that he's addressing of Shwab. If I'm not mistaken, he says that this whole discussion is being addressed to the audience. That's not seemingly what the Mitzvah says. The fact that the Mitzvah used the word Reim, it seems he's addressing very specifically the three friends, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Sofar, of Yamalohem. And in Yaman it says, Atem Chachamim, you wise men, Shimu Miloi, listen to my words, V'atem Yedim, and you who know, Hazinu Amoroi, listen to my words, Ki Mochem Habina, it is with you understanding, Lehavin Ma'amoroi, to understand my words. Pasigimel, Ki Oizen, Kimo Shoizen, Tifchon Koilos Hadvarim, Shalom.
Last paragraph, he said, you guys didn't understand it.
Now he's saying you do understand. Okay, it's all a matter of interpretation of Enochanami. He's vacillating. Pasuk Gimel, Kumo she'ozen tivchon koilos hadvarim shalmi heima. Just like the ear is able to hear different sounds, and from the sound you can immediately know who is speaking. Uchmo she'hachich yitam haroy leachol. Ladas hamaruhu o mosuk. Just like the palate can, when it comes in contact with food, it can immediately discern if the food is sweet or bitter. So here he's following through Cain. The meaning of the pasuk is bale chokma. People of understanding, of knowledge, Yavinu Amoroi Emes Vitzelik, they will come to the conclusion to realize that the words I'm about to present are words of truth and justice and righteousness and correctness. Okay, so Rashi Pasuk Aleph, Mane Elihu, Gimel Pasuk Gimel, Ki Oizen Milin Tifchon Kasher Achich Yitoim Hoichel, same thing as the Mitzudos, just like the palate tastes food and can discern between sweet and bitter food, so too your minds should pay close attention and understand and realize that what I'm telling you is not nonsense, it is truth. Or maybe what he's telling over here, his friends, is to listen to the difference between my words and your words. Just like the palate can discern the difference between bitter and sweet, so too when your ears listen to what I say, now in contrast, you'll be able to realize that your words, or the words of Eliphaz, if he's addressing the audience of Eliphaz, Bildad and Sofar, their words were nonsense, and my words are correct. Or the difference between me and Eiv. Eiv's complaint is nonsense, and my response is correct. My response truly explains why the tzaddik here is suffering. Pasuk Dalit. Nishbat. Now the parak goes very quickly because there's a lot of poetry. It doesn't appear that there's a lot of. The message comes a little bit late, but first he just goes to all of these expressions and telling them to listen to what he has to say. Pasuk Dalet, Mishpat Nifcharo Lanu, Mishpat will be selected for us. Neida Veinenu, we will know between us Matoy what is correct. It's another expression which means listen very carefully and you'll see that I have words of Mishpat to relate. Let's see Pasuk Dalet Mitzudos, Mishpat Nifchara. Anivyatem, I and you, okay, you and I, our audience, Nifcharu lanu mishpat, let us select mishpat, let us choose justice, Levarer birur ho'emes, to clarify the matter with accuracy, V'neida beinenu, and we'll know among us, Matoiv lahafrish. Habilti tzedek mato. What is good? Will let us analyze with mishpat to discern what is tov. Lahafrish, to separate habilti tzedek mehat tzedek, from words that are not correct from words that are correct. Through our analysis, through our mishpat, our attempt to seek mishpat, justice. Back to the pasuk, Nifcharu lanu, we will select among the ideas presented the words which are neida, we will know, Nifcharu lanu neida, it's like a repetition, we will select and we'll come to the conclusion, Veinenu among us, Matov, which arguments are correct, which arguments are good, and which arguments are nonsense. Pasuk Hey, Ki now he begins to summarize again the words of Eiv. What has Eiv said? What is the essence of Eiv's complaint? At least one aspect of his complaint. Ki Omar Eiv Tzadakti, I am righteous. Vikel Heiser Mishpati. What is Eiv's complaint? I am righteous. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has denied me judgment. Pasuk Hey in the Mesudah Tzadakti. Ani tzadik v'zaka, I'm righteous, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done heisir mishpat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done my mishpat, heisir mimeni ha-mishpat ha-gmol ha-roi. Hashem has denied for me justice. He has brought upon me suffering. Pasuk Vav, al mishpati achazev. Achazev means lie. Kozov means a lie. In fact, this week's parasha, who was the name of the princess that was killed? Was Cosby. Cosby Vasur. So Cosby means a lie. Why? I heard this word a few times. Why was she called Cosby? Why does the Torah have to tell us the name of this non-Jewish woman that had relations in public with Zimri? We have to know the name of the shiksa. What's important to know this princess?
Shame, herself.
This what?
Well, yes, she should be ashamed.
But she was the princess of the king of Yichus. But she was so Rashi says, right? Rashi says she was the daughter of a king of a prince. and she degraded herself. The hatred for the Jewish people was so great. She was suicidal. The hatred for the Klal Yisrael was so great. The kings were willing to be mafkir their daughters to such a lewd, a low act of immorality in order to anger HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But why was it necessary to actually mention her name? You could say that she was the daughter of the king, the daughter whoever her father's name is. So I once heard the pshat is because the word kazav means a lie. And she was a temptation for Zimri. She obviously must have been a beautiful person, and she dressed and she did things in a provocative way which aroused Zimri to sin with her in this method. She embodied the Yetzirah. Her behavior was the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah is a kazav, is a lie. It's just an illusion. When a person has a taiva, desire to do an avera, he has to realize it's a lie. There's no real substance in the sin. After he commits the sin, then the person then realizes, I've been taken advantage of, I've been fooled, I really have no satisfaction from this action, this event. It was just nothing more than an illusion. It was a good magical performance. It's a lie. The Torah told us the name of this Zona. Her name was Kozbi, to tell us this concept. Every time you are presented with the Yetzirah and he's trying to make you do an Avera, realize it's nothing more than a Kozav. You know, you've heard this before, right? Rashur always says this part. He always says this idea. Kazav. So here we have the word over here, achazev. In this context, it means my mishpat achazev has been a lie. Now, how does the word lie in mishpat make sense in this context? It just means it's been denied. I have been denied justice. My day in court has been denied. And therefore, being that it has been denied, anush means ill, weakness, or near death. Chitzi means my pain, my suffering. Belifosha, for no sin. Chitzi also can mean an arrow. A chetz is an arrow. Here it means the same thing. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he brings afflictions upon a person, it's described as shooting arrows. Today you would say a gunshot wound, right? I have a gunshot wound, and the gunshot wound has made me anush, has made me extremely weak. I'm on the verge of death. So the chitzi means the arrow that has been shot into my body. Doesn't mean literally an arrow, it means the Hashem's arrows. Hashem's arrows means the yisurim and the illness that Hashem has brought upon me, has brought me into a state of anush, and all of this has done to me with shelo kedin, with injustice. But lifosha, I am not guilty, I have not done anything wrong, and I have been denied my day in court to prove to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I have not done anything wrong, because my mishpati achazev has been denied, has been lied. My judgment is a lie. I've been denied my day in court. Well, let's look at the Pasuk Vav. This opening, it's all part of Eov's complaint. There are two psukim here that are summarizing, at least in this context, Eov's complaint. Pasuk Vav Nemitzudos al Mishpati Achazev Milvad Mishpat Gemuli Asher Ani Oimesh Poska. Besides the Mishpat of the Gemuli, of what's due to me, I deserve, a person deserves a day in court. Asher Ani Oimer, which I claim, Sheposka Mimeni is a translation of the word Achazev. It's been denied. Hine owed, in addition to that, the second part of the pasuk says, Onush Chitzi, my wounds, Chitzi means my wounds, have made me extremely weak. Bli Pasha, without undeserved. I have not done anything wrong. Ratzolaymar. Lo dai shechoyme skumuli. Not only does the Kadosh Baruch has he stolen my due, has he denied me my justice, my reward for my good deeds, and has denied me what I'm entitled to, my day in court. Ad shafilu miyasreini oid b'chinu HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he tortures me for no reason at all. So this pasuk is basically a summary of Eov's complaint. If you look at Rashi pasuk heis mishpati haychachas devarim. Mishpati means my ability to argue, to debate HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been denied. Pasuk Vav Achazev, Achziv Shofti, my judge, my lawyer, my judgment has been denied. What does that mean? Shaloi Donani, MS, you have not judged me with truth, or you have not given me a day in court. Anush means, and I'm sick. Chole makasi kimo vayenash. Okay, it means that I'm just very, very sick. Chitzi literally means my arrow, but in this context it means nigi, means my wounds. Okay, pasik zayin. Yeah.
The whole temptation and everything of her.
Of the Yetzirah is a lie.
It's a lie.
It's a lie.
It's, you mean the person that's being tempted should realize that the whole thing is a lie?
Exactly. The temptation is very real. A person has taiva, has passion, has a lust.
When he gets the taiva, he should think it's all.
It's a lie. It's an illusion.
So why Yosef HaTzadik?
Yeah.
With Potiphar, that they said that when the Zerah came between his feet.
Yeah.
Because of the taiva.
Yeah.
Now, if he would have thought the way you're speaking right.
Well, that's the Nisayon. Well, that's the Nisayon. Every person has a Nisayon. It feels, at the time, it feels very real. It feels very, the taiva, the passion, the taiva, not only for arayos, for every avera, lashon hara, for anything a person wants to do, shmiras seinayim, for amacholos asuros. Okay, we don't have a vodazor, for taivas hamamon, gezel. Every time a person has a taiva to do an avera, he has to realize it's just an illusion. It's a kozof, it's a lie. Because after he will do the avera, he'll have charata. Why does he have charata after he does the avera? He realizes he was the wrong thing to do. So why did he do it at the time? He had a passion. Devarim pshutim. Okay, but that's a technique. Okay, let's go forward. Pasuk Zayin. Now Eliyahu says, after summarizing the essence of Eliyahu's complaint, he says now that Eliyahu, I got to give credit to Eliyahu. Eliyahu is very eloquent. He's telling him, he's speaking to the audience. Remember, this is a different approach. It's not like we've had until now. Until now, the friends are directing Eliyahu directly. He's not he's not speaking to Eliyahu. He's speaking to the audience. We're speaking to the three friends. And he says to the three friends, he says to the world, listen, Eliyahu has a complaint. He's bitter. He claims that he doesn't deserve this. He has done nothing wrong. And Hashem has denied him mishpat. And Hashem is torturing him for no reason. And Rabbi Yisai, I want to let you know, Eliyahu, you know, he's pretty good. He makes a good argument. He's eloquent. But still, don't be misled. I'm not coming to downplay Eliyahu's eloquence. Is there out there in the world a gever, a man, like Eliyahu, who's able to, this is a metaphor, he drinks lag, leitzonis, or mockery, like water. He can go on and speak and say words of insult, words of mockery, words of apikursis against HaKadosh Baruch Hu to no end. Just like a person drinks water. Water, it used to be in the olden days, before bottled water, it was free. Before there was a water meters. Right? Water meters aren't that old. Water meters are only, 15, 20 years old in New York City? What?
Not even that.
Water used to be free. So it used to be, when something is free, so who cares? So there's no you
water tax on real estate.
You can take what?
Do
the tax?
Yeah.
Wasn't my usage. Okay. I remember on the Lower East Side, it used to be electricity. I used to live on the Lower East Side. It used to be electricity was part of the rent.
Yeah.
So basically, you pay rent. The rent was very low on the Lower East Side years ago. So you pay rent, and then you can use as much electricity as you want. So the joke was that people had air conditioners. Okay, those, you know, the air conditioners, not even had air conditioner those days, but it started becoming very popular. You turn on the air conditioner, you turn it on before May, and it doesn't go off until September, October. It stays on. There's no having you have to turn it off, because who's paying for it? It's free. You pay rent and includes electricity.
The air conditioner wasn't free. They charge you $65 a season.
a season for air, if you had an air conditioner. How do they know if you had an air conditioner?
They look in the
windows, really.
Well, they asked you to volunteer, but they did check.
They did check. Okay, I didn't know that. I was too young to realize what was going on. But I used to hear this joke. You turn it on, that's it. Who's paying for it? Who cares? It's free. When something is free, there's no shear. That's the metaphor we're using here. Liquor, sheikhar, yayin costs money. You don't drink yayin without a shear. You have to you drink in moderation because you will go bankrupt. But water is free. You can drink water without any moderation. Here, Eof, he talks and talks and talks. There's no end. He goes nonstop, and his words are words of lag. Lag means insult, mockery. Against who? Against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He complains, I have not done anything wrong, and you are punished, you're torturing me for no reason. And his words are they're very eloquent. People like to listen. He's telling the audience, telling his friends, stop listening. He's having an evil influence on you. And don't pay attention. Migever, is there such a person out there in the world? Ki Eof. It's addictive to listen to Eof. It's delicious. He's so good. His speech is so good, and it's nonstop. But you gotta stay away. You gotta be careful. You're causing yourself harm. Is there a person ki Eof that's yishtel lag, that drink that consumes lag kamoim? I once saw that. Once spoke to a mechanich. He was telling me that in kinuch, they deal with children, and he said the problem with television and internet. And these video games, he told me, I was shocked what he said to me. He says, you think that the problem with the kids watching television is they're seeing things they shouldn't see. Shmir Sinai, that's what he said to me. I say, of course. He goes, yeah, that's problem, but that's not the main problem. They see things they shouldn't see. The main problem is it's addictive. It's so good. It's so good. Forget about they see things, even things that are not necessarily halakhically problematic. Just good action. It's addictive. You see one television show, you got to see another. And it totally destroys the addictiveness of this type of entertainment, destroys the kids that he was dealing with. I was shocked because the average parent thinks, what's the problem with letting kids do these things? They're seeing things. They're learning hashkafas that are not teredika hashkafas. That's only part of the problem. The major part of the problem is the addictiveness. So here I'm not saying this in the pasuk, but he's saying over here, it's kamayim. It's like water. It's nonstop. It's addictive. There's no end to it. And this hashkafa is going to destroy all of you by listening to it. Pasuk ches. Let's read one more pasuk. V'arach l'chevra in poli oven. It's a path. He's leading you down a path, l'chevra, to this group of people, and probably people who do averus, v'lelechas, and people that travel in anshei resh. Let's see this second together. Let's say more detail. Pasuk Zion. Mi gever kiyev in the mitzudas tavit. Hanimtza adam chasha b'chachma. Is there any person out there in the world that is wise? Ki Eof. Asher yarba kol kach b'divrei lag. He is speaking, he is giving forth words of insult. Kimoi. Non-stop, continuously, Hashay Semayim, Asher Yirbe Lishtoi Stay Sipuko, he continues to drink until the satisfaction, Hoyle Sins, Ve'ein Haderch Losses Ba'ado Mechir, it's free. Pasiches, Ve'orach, this man, Eof, is walking on a road, Ve'yelech Orach, he is traveling on a path, Lehischaber, to connect himself, lechevra, v'arach lechevra, he's walking on a road that will connect him with impale oven, with sinners, leschab impale oven. And then the second year of the pasuk is just repetition, v'lelecha seman sheresha. What? Say again? Impale with the way I'm sorry, I didn't get that. He's spelling the pasuk is also with an aleph. Yeah. Sometimes oven is spelled with an. And you're right. It's an unusual spelling of the word, but in Echnami it is interchanged. Because this man is going on a very difficult way. Now, what else? What are all the words of Apikorsis is he giving forth? Pasuk Tes, Kiyamar. That is very powerful stuff. He's Elihu summarizing Eof. Kiyamar lo yiskon gever birtzay soyim elokim. Eof says that there's no benefit. Okay, this is pure Apikorsis. Lo yiskan gever. Yiskan means benefit. We had this before. Avishai Hashunamis was serving David at the end of David when he was 70 years old, when David's body was not functioning, was not producing heat. She served him to keep him warm, to give him benefit, the benefit of warmth. So here it's the same exact word. Man derives no benefit when he finds favor in the eyes of God. It's not kedai to serve Hashem, to be an eved Hashem. This is the essence of Eov's apikorsis. And Eliyahu is very frightened. Again, now with our thesis when we started this year, this parrot, Eov, again, Eliyahu is not so much concerned about Eov. He's more concerned about the audience. The audience is going to learn from Eov this horrible philosophy in life of ki lo yiskon gover beritzoy say im elokim. If the people will listen to what Eov has to say, the world will very quickly come to an end. Tetzi pasik tes ki amar Musav Lamala. This pasuk test is going back above what it says. Shama Migever, pasuk Zayin. Is there a man? Shayomar Kedivre Iyov. Is there any personality in the world that says Ki Amar Lo Yiskan Ratzulaymar? What does he mean Lo Yiskan? Ein Hana. Yiskan means benefit. Vitoelis. Two words which mean the same thing. There's no benefit. Bola Adam Baneh Sheyirtzel Lelechas. When he chooses to go Im Elokim in the ways of God. Bedrachov Uve Kudav, and in his loss. So this is scary. So let's go here. Let's see some of the Rashi. Rashi pasik tes lo yiskan gever lo yehone adam. Same exact translation. Man derives the benefit im matmim derachav, if he makes his ways complete. Tamim tihye im Hashem Elokecha. So if a person follows that directive, he gets nothing out of it. Pure apikorsis.
But that's only on myself.
There is Olam Haba.
There is, and he said you should, you know, if you want the...
For the Neshama, right. Okay, you make a good point. At the very end of Eov's last complaint, he acknowledged that you should pick Derech HaYashar, not for this world, but for the next world. So he asked, how do you reconcile that with this? Okay, so you want to suggest that he's referring to in this world. When he's summarizing Eov, he means... It's good to be a tzaddik, tamim, for the next world. But in this world, there's nothing, zero. And that is apikorsis. That's also apikorsis. Or maybe what he means to say is that, Eov, you maybe are explaining it, you're backtracking, you're explaining yourself, but the message that people are hearing is that there's no benefit not in this world or in the next world. Because again, he's speaking to the audience, speaking to the three friends. Eov was backtracking at the end of his last response. He's saying, I never meant to say such harsh words. Of course, you have to understand what I meant. I'm suffering, I'm complaining about, but it could be that what he's saying here is, okay, you may be coming to explain what you meant to say, but the words still, your harsh words still stand on its own. How many times do we hear in politicians say make terrible mistakes, they say, and then for the rest of their lives they're apologizing, that's not what I meant, it was taken out of context, and so that's really what he's saying. Yeah, of course, Eve, you explained that you didn't mean to say it, but the bottom line is, let's go back to the record. What did you say in the first few parakim of the Sefer? You basically said, Lo yiskon gaver beritzoisa im Elokim. And all of your apologies and all of your explanations don't really change the facts, don't really change what people heard and what people want to hear. And as long as they can hang it on what you said, you're in trouble. I once saw something online. I saw a video. It's a fantastic video. They showed how dangerous it is for a politician, how careful they have to be when they say something, because the media would love to take clips out of context. It was fascinating. I mean, they took an average person, and if make believe you're a politician, I'm going to interview now. I'm going to interview you. You have a certain belief and a certain value and an idea. I'm going to interview and be very careful what you say, so it should not be taken out of context. and he interviewed him for 2 minutes, and then this person, this professional studio, they took this interview and they made out of it Mahavish Mikotze El Kotze. Did you hear what this person said? It was professionally done, and they took clips. They took little sound bites from the interview, which was totally innocent. But he just was not careful to use the right words. He used the wrong words, and that opened up the ability for the studio to make this clip as if this person is the worst tyrant in the world.
It seems without that, companies give training as to how people deal with the media.
Yeah, you have to know exactly what to say. Exactly. Therefore, you just show. You have to be how to respond. You have to be very careful how to.
It was frightening. They start off by just interviewing you.
Yeah.
On a subject.
Yeah.
And they push you down into a rat hole.
There are professionals that are. They train you how to, politicians, like the debates.
Politicians or anybody.
Anyone, right? Any response? They're professional.
He asked me about I was in telecommunications. He said, "You work on a technology that can cause cancer." How do you answer that question? He said, "No, it can't cause cancer. Once you said cancer, you're finished."
Exactly. You can't say that word. You have to. So. That's what's happening. You make a very good point. Eov denied ever saying these things, right? In the Hanami. That's what we learned. He never said, "Lo Yisrael Gover Berusosai." But they got him. They really got him because he really did say these things, and now all of his explanations is not going to be able to get him out of this situation. Okay, pasuk lamid, pasuk yud. Lachen diyefer anshe levav shimuli cholilo lokel meresha v'shakai me'avel. So again, now he's speaking to the audience, saying he summarized the last number of psukim starting from pasuk hey vav zayin ches tes. These psukim were a summary of Eov's words. Now Elihu addresses the audience, or according to the mitzvahs, he addresses the three friends. And he says, "Rabbeisai, don't be influenced by this person. Don't listen to what he says. Lochein, I want to make it clear to you. Anshei Levav, you wise people of a discerning heart. Shimuli, listen carefully to me. Cholila, God forbid, chulin, it's a mundane. Lokel neresha, that God should in any way be associated with evil. Veshakai, another word for Kodesh Baruch Hu, me'ovel, should be associated with wrongdoing whatsoever. Stay away. Pasuk Yud Aleph, kifoal adam yishalem lo. Anything that Kodesh Baruch Hu does is just. Kodesh Baruch Hu rewards a person for his good deeds and punishes him for his bad deeds. Uch'orach ish, and according to man's ways, yam tzienu, that's what he will find him. Hashem will repay men according to he will find what he does. If he's good, good will find him. If he's evil will find him. Let's see these two psukim together. The mitzvus pasuk yud, anshe levav ratzolaymar, anshe levav chachma, men of a discerning heart. God, far be it from God to deny reward. To give a rasha reward and to give rala tzaddik. Repetition of the same idea. Pasuk Yud Aleph, ki poel adam, kimo poel adam kein yishalom lo. According to a person's deeds is what he is his reward. Im toiv yim ra. Uchvi erech ish, according to a person's path in life, kein yazm loy, Hashem will direct reward and punishment. The kafel hadover b'miloy shonis. Pasuk Yud Beis, af omdam. Certainly, the mitzvahs will say you have to really add a letter, af ki. You have to add it as if it says af ki, which means certainly. Omnam, it's an expression, af omnam, but the truth is, kel lo yarshia, Hashem does not bring evil, v'shakai lo yaves, Mishra does not corrupt justice. Pasuk Yud Beis in the mitzvahs, af omnam, techsar milas ki, the word ki is missing. Uchi'ilu omar, it's as if the pasuk says afki, which means certainly. The truth is, the ratzolaymar kol shekain, certainly sho emes hi asher kel lo yarshia ratzolaymar Lo yishalem gemul rasha lemiya shelo hirshia. Hashem will not punish a person for something he did not do. For mikra kotzar umuv meilav, it's a short pasuk. You're missing words. It's self understood. Lo yaavitz mishpat afilu hamishpat lo yaavitz lasho gemul scharo. Hashem will not deny a person's reward. Same idea. Hakadosh Baruch Hu is coming here in these two pasukim, pasuk yud, yud aleph, and yud beis. These pasukim are just a rejection of everything he has said, telling the audience, don't be influenced by this evil man. Pasuk Yud Gimel.
Your face is really almost an exact repetition of Yud.
Yeah, I mean, okay. Ki follow them, Yishalem lo, uch o'erach ish yamtsenu, af omnam. Okay, I don't know the significance. You're right, there must be some deeper meaning here. But you're right, there is a lot of poetic repetition in Elihu's. Bechlal, Elihu is much more repetitive than the three friends. He definitely has a lot of verbosity. Pasuk Yud Gimel. Mi fokat olav artsa umi sam tevel kula. Here he's describing Kadosh Baruch Hu is infinite. Who is the one that commanded man upon the earth? Who is the one that established the entire world? Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's the creator. Kadosh Baruch Hu, he created everything. Pasuk Yudalid. Im yasim elav libo. If Hashem were to decide, ruchol v'nishmaso elav ye'esoif, the person's neshama would return instantly. In other words, what he's saying, we'll see them just in one moment, what he's saying over here is that if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to punish a person, he would just kill him in a moment. Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu want a person to suffer for a long period of time? It must be there's a reason. What? Exactly, there must be this reason. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is doing things arbitrarily without any plan, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu would just give a command and the Ruach and the Neshama person would return, Yasof would be ingathered, would come back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the person would die in an instant. The fact that a person suffers for a prolonged period of time must be, that itself must be an indication that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has a plan, there's a purpose. The suffering is for refinement, or is to punish the person for his sins, or is for a wake-up call for him to do tshuva in order that he can merit Olam Haba. He's saying something very profound. The fact that there is a creation in this world called suffering, it itself is a revelation that there is a creator. We don't think of it like that. Most people say the fact that there's suffering must be that there is no creator, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has abandoned us to nature, but has abandoned the world. But why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that? If HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not really interested in this world, so he would create a world where a person just dies in a moment. Why is it that the person suffers for a prolonged period of time? The fact that such a thing does exist must be that there is some divine plan. Let's see them through this inside. Yigimel, mi fakat. V'chi mit siva olav livro es aretz. Who is the one that gave the command to create this earth? Who is the one that created the world besides God? No one. It's a rhetorical question. There's no one else out there that created the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to respond to, has to answer to. Hashem is the one that created the world. He's the one that gave the command that this earth shall be formed and the earth shall be created. The fact the world exists only comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'yakol b'yado, and everything is in Hashem's hand. Pasuk Yedalid, im yasim, im hoya mesim libo, al olam. According to the Mitzudos, is not what Rashi says, but according to the Mitzudos says that this next part, Pasuk Yedalid, means if Hashem wants the world to come to an end in a moment, it can. Im hoya mesim libo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would desire, al olam l'hapoich, to turn over. Hakol, lapach hakol, miyesh le'ayin, to make the world go back into a state of nothingness. Halo yuchalhu, Hashem has the ability to do this in an instant. Les yuchalhu les soif elov meha olam. Hashem can gather in meha olam haruach vehaneshama hanosun bo. Mimenu, that has given to the world from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. According to the Mitzudos, he's saying something very, very deep. Just like a human being, we can sense that a human being has a ruach and a neshama, the earth also has a ruach and a neshama. The fact that the earth spins on its axis, the fact that the moon goes in orbit around the earth, the fact that all the planets circle the sun, All of these things, even the sun, you mentioned, the sun also spins on its axis. Okay, someone mentioned that to me. That's correct. It's a scientific fact. The sun also spins. The fact that everything is in movement is an indication that the Bria also has a ruach and a neshama. Every part of the Bria of Teva also has a spirit, has a neshama. We don't sense it. To us, the earth is just a mundane, it's matter. We only sense life in human beings and animals, but there is life in the Bria itself. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to bring an end to the world, Hashem just would give a command and would bring the neshama, the ruach and the neshama of the Bria back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the world would cease to exist.
But the earth brings up plants and flowers.
There's a neshama. The earth has a neshama, but it's not like with the neshama of a human being. But it's less ha'il of ha'il of ruach and neshama of ha'nasim bo mimenu ratzulaymar ha'ya manea min ha'ilam ha'akadosh Baruch Hu can deny min ha'ilam ha'hashpa influence, his goodness that he bestows, haba mimenu, v'hoysa shava l'ayin, the earth will come to an end in one moment. That pasuk tesvav, and when that happens, pasuk tesvav, yigva kol basar yachar, all flesh would perish in an instant, together, the Adam al Ofar Yashuv, man would return to his dust. Pasuk Tezvav in the Mitzudas, Yigva, the Oz, at that moment, HaKadosh Baruch Hu would give the command, Im Haya Geva Kol Basar, Geva Kol Basar, Kulam, Kiachar, all flesh would perish in one moment. The Af Min Adam Hayashav El Ofar, the Min, the species of mankind will return to the dust. Asher Lukach Menu was taken from the dust, from Uchoimer, the passing means to say, Im Lohoya Masav Bemishpat, Kiyim Motze Tenuas V'choshed Li'yoiv. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not create this world with Mishpat, if Hashem's claim is there is no justice in this world, Hashem created a world and disappeared and left it to the Mazalos. There is no justice. If that is correct, that there is no justice, as Eve claims, V'cho'omer, Im lo hayamasa b'mishpat, ki im motza tenuos, and instead HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always looking for excuses, pretexts, to bring harm to man, ki im motza tenuos, v'choshev li'oiv, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is planning, what?
Looks like Oyev.
V'choshev lo'oyev, lo'oyev, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is to be considered an enemy of man, v'chevtsoi la'abed, and he wants to destroy as if he's seeking to take revenge. If Eve is correct that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is behaving like an enemy and is always looking for pretexts to bring suffering to the world, what is Hashem drawn out? Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu want to bring intense suffering? If Hashem wants to bring an end to the world, He can do it in a moment. And He can destroy all flesh, not only one individual, not only Eiv. Hashem could destroy the whole world. Who is holding HaKadosh Baruch Hu back? Okay, now, this idea is very deep, and it's very hard to really. I don't understand what it means, but he's presenting a very sophisticated argument, which we have to leave for all the philosophers to figure out what he's saying. Is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu really is planning, is what we call, I guess, the evil genius. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just out to get us. There are much better ways to get us. There are much better ways to end the world and to destroy the world. There are much more sophisticated ways or easier ways. The fact that man suffers with such precision and this person suffers and that person does not suffer, and there is such a complex science to this concept called Yisurim, is an indication that there is divine providence in, there's a plan, there's a picture, there is Mishpat. It's not just haphazard, because if it was haphazard, it would be different. How would it be different? Here he just paints a very simple picture. Hashem would just turn off the switch, would put an end to the world in one moment. He would give the command that the ruach and the neshama of the world shall come, could collect back to our Hashem, and man would perish together and fall into the dust. and Hashem would be finished. He would have succeeded in destroying the world. But Hashem doesn't do that. Hashem lets the world go on. Hashem only selects individuals. And Hashem causes them to suffer only at specific moments in time. Only for a certain amount of time. And in a certain way. That is all an indication that there indeed is Mishpat. There is Hashgacha Pratis. It's just that man fails to understand Hashem's ways. Let's look at some of these Rashis. Rashi Pasuk Yud Gimel, Mi Kifok Adalav Arza, Mi Moshel Ba. Is there anyone that rules HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Does HaKadosh Baruch Hu have someone upon him? Lamar, Lama, Kenosisa, why did you, Hashem, do this? V'loit Sivisicha Kain, and I did not command you to do this? That's Epicursus. Kinitzi Veyu Bimem Shalto. Who would dare command the Kadosh Baruch Hu concerning his dominion? V'lama Yimsa Tu'unos Librios. Why would a Kadosh Baruch Hu look for pretexts? Hashem is not responsible to anyone else. Hashem does not need to respond to anyone that rules over him. Because of this reason I caused him harm. There's no one holding back HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu do whatever he wants. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not judging the world with mishpat, HaKadosh Baruch Hu can destroy the world and can bring more suffering to the world than what currently exists. And the fact that there is not, the world does continue to live, generally speaking, in a healthy manner, indicates that there is mishpat. And if we do find one person suffering, it must be there is a very specific reason. And if you don't understand that reason, that's your problem. But that's not a complaint against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Pasuk Yudalid, Im Yosim Elav Libo, Al Adam. See, over here, Pasuk Yudal, the Rashi is differing than the Mitzudos. The Mitzudos says, "In Yosim Elav Libo," because it's concerning the world. If Hashem were to decide to destroy the world, the Mitzudos says, "No, Im Yosim Libo Alev Libo Al Adam upon man leHashchiso Lama Yavay BeAlila Elav." Why would HaKadosh Baruch Hu come with a pretext? Hari Miyad. Immediately, yes, Soif Elav Ruch Hashem would give a command and would take back the Ruchay Unishmasai, Ruch and Neshama Shalo, Shehi, the Fuchabo, which has been blown into man, then Mocha Biyado, and no one is going to protest. The Yigva Kolbos Yachla, and all flesh would perish in a moment. Kepasik Tes Zion. V'yimbina Shama Zos, and now again he addresses the audience. I'm telling you very profound matters. If you understand what I'm telling you, if you understand Shema Zos, listen to this. Hazino, pay close attention to Kol Miloi. Now he goes on. Okay, let's read that pause like Tezayin. Tezayin in Vibina. Now he's going on to this is a really introduction to the next theme. Pasuk Tezayin begins a new theme, and I think Pasuk Tezayin is an introduction to that theme. Pasuk Tezayin in the Mesudos Vibina. Im Yesh Lecha Bina. If you have understanding, Shema Zeis. Understand what I'm about to tell you. Urahave Noisav Azina Lekol Miloi Masha Adar. Introduction to the next pasuk. Now, what is he about to say? Let's see over here. Rashi, v'im bina, v'im ata roitzah havin shmozos bina zo. Rashi just says bina over here is a verb. Bina means understanding. It's not a noun. It's not a piece of knowledge. If it would be a body of knowledge, then it would be a noun. But being over here, he's telling people to apply themselves in understanding what he's about to say. And he just says the proof that it's a verb. It's not a noun. Is that it's mila el. The tam is on the base bina instead of bina. If it would be a noun, bina, a body of knowledge, then it would be bina. The fact that it's bina, it means apply yourself to understand what I'm about to tell you. Let's see the Russian thing. Bina zo ena shem davar. It's not a noun. El loshon tzivui. It's a command. Kemo bina hagigi. Understand it carefully. Lefichu therefore shtai meil. These two words, bina hagigi, and the word bina now pasuk bina shemazos elu ta'amon lemala. the tam is on the base, not on the nun, the base. The chol shabina, every time we have the word bina, that's a noun, a body of knowledge, tamon lamatamin, there the tam would be lamatamin, will be on the nun. Okay, so now we'll stop here, but just the basic idea is ha'af, just as introduction to Pasuk Yitzayin, he now goes on to explain. One, according to there are different perushim what this means, but one approach is he goes on to explain that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has allowed the Satan to take control of Eiv. He's now finally getting to the meat and potatoes of why Eiv is suffering. The Sone Mishpat, see Pasuk Yitzayin Ha'af, Sone Mishpat Yachavosh. Should HaKadosh Baruch Hu hold back the Sone Mishpat? That's a new term to describe the Satan. The Satan is a creature that hates Mishpat. He, in this instance, has been given control, authority to bring suffering upon Eov for Hashem's own private reasons. And that, Amir Hashem, we'll see more next time.